Where do you go when you want to know what's new to do and who is who?
Studio Classroom is the place to be.
Come along and you will see connecting is the thing to do. Give your life a different view.
You can learn and you can share with people living everywhere.
Studio Classroom, the place to learn.
The place to grow.
Stay tuned and watch the show.
Hey, 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 and welcome to Studio Classroom. I am your teacher, Gabe.
I'm Carolyn.
And I'm Nathaniel.
And you are joining us for day two of our lesson in culture. That's right, Studio Classroom's Joe Wirtz had an interesting time in New York City. She went from her city in Texas to New York City, and it was quite a different culture for her, even though it was within the same country. Hey, Carolyn, how long have you been in Taipei?
Well, I've been here about 2 years now.
So you've been here 2 years. How are you feeling? Do you feel adjusted? Or how long did it take you to feel adjusted here?
Well, you know, it took a little while to kind of get past the culture shock because the United States and Taipei are pretty different. They have very different food and language. But I feel like now I'm very comfortable here in Taipei.
Well, it's good. It's good to get to a place where you can feel comfortable where you are. Well, some people learn how to adjust quickly, some it takes longer. Let's continue learning about Joe's experience in New York City with our first reading of today.
A lesson in culture. I learned quickly never to assume a New Yorker speaks English and to be respectful of lifestyles that were new to me. New York is home to people of all walks of life, from all corners of the world. My coworkers were Polish, Colombian, Puerto Rican, Greek, and Armenian, to name a few. I ran errands to a shop where all the male employees were Orthodox Jews and wore their hair in traditional curls. I spent hours wandering Canal Street in Chinatown, the closest I'd ever been to an Asian country.
Hello, listeners. This is your Word Lady Joanna. We're back for the second day of our passport article. Let's check out the vocabulary for today. Respectful. Respectful is an adjective. Be more respectful to your teachers. If you're rude, they might give you more homework. Walk of life. Walk of life is a noun. The members of this church come from all walks of life. Errand. Errand is a noun. I need to run errands to the bank, the post office, and the grocery store. Curl. Curl is a noun. I can't control my curls at all when the weather is this humid. Doorstep. Doorstep is a noun. Just leave the package on Haley's doorstep. She'll take it inside when she gets home. Your more information word is Orthodox Jew. Orthodox Jew is a noun. Have you ever experienced culture shock? What was it like? Think about it while we finish the article.
Right at the beginning, Joe says, I learned quickly never to assume a New Yorker speaks English and to be respectful of lifestyles that were new to me. We see that word bank word there, respectful. It's very important to be respectful to other people and of other cultures. How else can you talk about this word respectful, Carolyn?
Well, a lot of times when I think of being respectful, I think of being respectful to people who are older than us. Hmm. So being respectful to your elders.
Okay, being respectful to your elders. Who else are you respectful to, Nathaniel? I'm assuming that you are respectful to people.
Yes, I do try to be respectful to people, especially my parents, also teachers, or maybe my boss. All of these are people that I should probably show some respect to.
All right. Well, of course, I think all of us know and are taught that it's important to be respectful to everybody. And if you go and visit a new country or a different place, then you need to try to research or maybe figure out how can you be respectful to that new place and new lifestyles Joe talks about. Well, friends, we did see a word there in that sentence, assume. I learned quickly never to assume something. Right now, Steve and Ken have something that they want to share with us in the information cloud. Hey, guys.
Steve, the writer of today's article mentions that she should never assume a New Yorker speaks English. Why don't we review the difference between assume and presume?
Okay, the words assume and presume are so close in meaning that even native English speakers sometimes get confused about when to use which word.
I can see why there would be a problem. Both assume and presume mean to believe something is true.
Correct. So let's dissect this a little. When you assume something, you believe it to be true without any proof. In other words, you make a decision based on a wild guess.
Okay, so as an example, I might say, I assumed you knew that person because you were both from the same school.
Great. Now, in contrast, presume is a belief based not on a wild guess, but on an educated guess. For example, we presume people with a ring on their left ring finger are married. Yes, there's still a chance we might be wrong, but we came to that conclusion based on some evidence.
So presume if you must, but try not to assume.
That's right. Growing up, we're taught never to assume. So before you make a judgment about something or someone, get as much information and as many facts as you can.
一起来看 assume 跟 presume 这两个字，字典上告诉我们两个字都表示假定。其实 assume 跟 presume 有一个很大的差别。assume 一般是一个 wild guess, 也就是乱猜或瞎猜。assume 有点像乱枪打鸟，没有任何的证据就随便假定一件事。那在今天的课文中呢，作者说 I learned quickly never to assume a New Yorker speaks English, 不应该随便就假定每一个纽约客都会讲英文。Presume 也是假定，但是它是基于一个 educated guess, 有一定依据的一个猜测，也就是依照经验或者知识所做的一种推测。当你看到某人的左手的无名指上戴着一个戒指，你会 presume 那个人是已婚，因为那是一个有凭有据的推测。这就是今天的 Info Cloud, 我们下次云端见。
Thank you, gentlemen. Well, moving on with our lesson, Joe writes, New York is home to people of all walks of life. All walks of life. We see that phrase, walk of life. That means a lifestyle or a different background. Different people have different walks of life. Do you know lots of people from different walks of life, Carolyn?
Well, going to college, I met people from all over the country and all around the world, and they had very different walks of life.
Okay, so different walks of life, people that you meet at university. Do you know people from different walks of life, Nathaniel?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in an international community, so my high school had a lot of different people from a lot of different countries.
All right, and I think I've experienced or I know people from different walks of life as well, different lifestyles and backgrounds, people from all corners of the world. Does the earth have corners, Nathaniel?
Well, technically, no. But just like we say the term the end of the world, the world doesn't exactly have an end to its shape either. We just mean the very different places of the world, all over the world is what we really mean.
All right, so this is a good phrase to know. All over the world, you could say all corners of the world. Moving on, Joe says, my coworkers were Polish, Colombian, Puerto Rican, Greek, and Armenian, to name a few. Well, that really does sound like people from all walks of life. And we see this phrase, to name a few, right there. It's a good way to talk about a series of things you want to say. And you could list many things But of course, it's not everything. So then you end with to name a few. Could you give us an example of this, Carolyn?
Well, growing up, I had a lot of different kinds of pets. Mm-hmm. I had dogs, cats, birds, just to name a few.
Just to name a few. That means she probably had 20 or 30 other kinds of pets. That was just to name a few. What about you, Nathaniel? How do you use this phrase?
Of course, there's a lot of different examples you could use. I could list my shoes and say, of all the different shoes I have some hiking boots, some tennis shoes, and some sandals, just to name a few.
Just to name a few. I have a lot of movies that I really like. Some of my favorites are It's a Beautiful Life and Forrest Gump, The Lord of the Rings, just to name a few. Of course, there are many that I like. So now you know how to use that phrase. Use it sometime today. Joe says, just to name a few. And she says, I ran errands to a shop where all the male employees were Orthodox Jews. Here we see that key word, errand. An errand is something that you do. It's something that you need to do or get done. What's an example of an errand that you might run?
I would say going to the store maybe to buy some milk or some other things that your family needs. Just a little job that you need to get done.
That's right. And you usually use the word run with errand. You can do some errands, but you can also run these errands. I need to go run a few errands right now. So she would run these errands and meet some different people from different walks of life. They wore their hair in traditional curls. These Orthodox Jews wore their hair in traditional curls. We see that key word right there too. A curl is something that some people have. My hair does not have curls. Nathaniel, does your hair have curls?
Yes, I do have curly hair. Orthodox Jews actually have long curls right here on the side of their face that hang down. It looks kind of unusual.
That's right. It's very unique. And I think, Carolyn, you do have curls, right?
I do have curly hair, but today it's not too curly. And now that my hair is short, you can't really tell.
Great. And as you can see, we use the word curls, the noun, and curly, the adjective, in kind of the same way. I have curly hair, or I have curls in my hair. Joe continues and said, I spent hours wandering Canal Street in Chinatown, the closest I'd ever been to an Asian country, which is kind of funny because it's not really that close to an Asian country. It just resembles an Asian city, maybe. Right. Well, right now it's time for us to learn something with Michelle at the Language Lab. Hey, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. Hi, everyone. I'm Michelle. 首先我们看的是 respectful 这个形容词。我们看到这个字里面有 respect, 尊敬这个动词。所以 respectful 是指尊敬的或者是尊重的。例如 you need to be respectful of other people's opinions. 你需要对别人的意见表示尊重。它的反义词是加上 dis 的字首。Disrespectful 是指不尊重他人的。继续我们看 errand 这个名词。Errand 是指差事或任务。例如 the boss just sent her secretary out on an errand. 老板刚派秘书出去办一件事。如果是跑腿去做这些差事，是用 run 这个动词。例如 I have to run some errands for my mother this morning. 今天早上我得替妈妈跑腿办一些事情。
Well, we're continuing this story that Joe had experienced in New York City. And we found out that she met different people from different walks of life. It's been a very interesting time so far. We have a little bit more to learn, so let's get started with the second part of our reading for today.
A lesson in culture. By the end of my internship, I was a little older, a little wiser, and sick of big city life. I hated the skyscrapers, tourists, and the high price I had to pay for a cheeseburger and fries. But I had grown, too. I was quicker, smarter, and more independent. I knew I would miss that feeling of having the world right at my doorstep. But it was good preparation for the life of travel I'd soon begin.
Joe says, by the end of my internship, I was a little older, a little wiser, and sick of big city life. She was sick of big city life. Carolyn, does that mean that she was like really sick and in the hospital and ill because of big city life?
Well, it would be really terrible if she had to go to the hospital because of big city life.
Yeah.
But here, being sick of something just means that you're really tired of it and you don't want to do it anymore.
Okay, so maybe you've experienced something for a long time. You've been doing something for a long time. You don't want to do it anymore. You can say, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of all of this homework. I hate all of this homework. How else can you use that phrase, Nathaniel?
Sometimes I do feel like I'm sick of rice and noodles when I'm living here in Asia. I feel like sometimes that's the only thing to choose. But sometimes there are other things that I can find, so it's okay.
It is okay. Well, of course, if you have the same meal every day, you will probably get sick of it. What else can you get sick of? Well, I hope you never say, I'm sick of studio classroom. That's right. Nobody should ever be sick of studio classroom. It's wonderful. Well, continuing on. Joe says, I hated the skyscrapers, tourists, and the high price I had to pay. Wait a minute. Joe, here at Studio Classroom, hated tourists? A teacher here hates people? What does she mean by this?
No. She doesn't mean that she hates people. She just means that, again, she's tired of having to deal with them, to have to meet them every day. It can get a little bit annoying.
Okay, it can. And yes, it's true. Sometimes you can use this word hate to just emphasize a certain feeling you have. Maybe you don't really, really hate something, because that is a very strong emotion. But in writing or speaking, you can still use this word. Ah, I hate that. How else could you use this, Nathaniel?
You know, sometimes I have to say, I see a person in a movie, it's an actor I don't really like. Mm-hmm. I might even say, man, I hate that guy. Of course, I don't have anything wrong with the person. I just think they're annoying to watch.
Okay, so you don't really hate somebody or something, but you can use this word to emphasize the feelings you have. Well, Joe continues. She says that she did not like the skyscrapers and tourists. She hated them. Or the high price that she had to pay for a cheeseburger and fries, but she had grown too. And how did she grow, Carolyn?
She was quicker, smarter, and more independent. And she knew that she would miss the feeling of having the world right at her doorstep.
Having the world right at my doorstep. Doorstep is one of our word bank words today. It's a really simple word to remember. I mean, in the front of your house or apartment, there might be a doorstep that's right in front of your door. But we see this phrase, something at my doorstep, or having the world at my doorstep. Carolyn, what does that mean?
Well, it means that you feel like you can do anything or go anywhere just by walking out of your house.
That's right. It's right there. Nathaniel, do you think that you feel this way when you're in New York?
Well, because there are so many different people from different places and so many places to go and things to do, you might feel like the world is at your doorstep when in this big city.
That's right. The world is at your doorstep. And this word doorstep is a special kind of word. It's called a compound word. Maybe we can talk about that. Compound words. We saw some other ones in this lesson. Skyscraper, cheeseburger, doorstep. There are words that actually combine two words, like door and step. So Nathaniel, what are some other examples of compound words?
You know, we actually talked about one other compound word mm-hmm. in today's article, lifestyle, adding life and style together to form its own word.
That's right, lifestyle, doorstep. Carolyn, what's another compound word?
Well, another one in this article is Chinatown. So it's like a town in China, Chinatown.
That's right. Well, there's many different examples of compound words. I can think of a few, like butterfly, eyelash, popcorn. I love popcorn. What are some other compound words? Write them down. Joe says, it was good preparation for the life of travel I'd soon begin. And she works here at Studio Classroom. She has been traveling a lot. Right now it's time for us to look at a little skit. Let's enjoy that now.
Ah, don't you just love New York City?
Actually, I feel like I'm living in a foreign culture.
I'm not surprised. New York is home to people of all walks of life, from all corners of the world.
Yeah, things are so different here that when I moved from Texas, I had culture shock.
Whoa, in your own country. How unexpected.
Yeah, there's constant traffic and noise and people and lights. I'm used to a relaxed pace. New York moves so fast.
Yeah, and the city never sleeps. So, what are you doing here?
I had an internship. I ran errands for a shop.
Huh. What about your free time?
Well, I spent hours wandering Canal Street in Chinatown.
Oh, so you like visiting Asian countries?
Actually, Chinatown is the closest I've been.
Huh. So how do you feel about your experience in New York?
I'm a little older and wiser now. I'm quicker and smarter and more independent.
Ooh, that's good.
But I'm sick of city life. I'm tired of the skyscrapers, the tourists, and the high prices.
Oh, so you're ready to move on?
Yes. I'll miss having the world at my doorstep, but now I'm ready for a life of travel. Goodbye, New York City.
That skit was great. Now let's go and see Michelle in the language lab.
Okay, 继续我们看的是 doorstep 这个名词。Doorstep 是指门街。例如 ,Jack is waiting for his girlfriend on the doorstep. Jack 在门街那里等他的女朋友。课文提到的 at one's doorstep 是指离自己非常接近。例如 ,when you enter the world of the internet,It feels like all the info you need is right at your doorstep. 当你进入网际网络的世界，好像所有你需要的资料都在你的眼前。最后我们来看 preparation 这个名词。Preparation 是指准备。例如 ,my experience as a server was good preparation for running a restaurant. 我当服务生的经验对于经营餐厅是非常好的预备。Preparation 也可以指预备的工作。这个时候它是可数的名词。例如 ,Mom is really busy with preparations for my sister's wedding. 妈妈为了姐姐婚礼的筹备而非常忙碌。Let's get back to the teachers.
Thank you, Michelle. Of course, we've talked about people with many different walks of life today. I wanted to ask you, Carolyn, did you experience anything culturally as you've traveled in your life?
Well, you know...I spent some time in Japan when I was in high school, and one instance does come to mind. I bought a soda there called a Dr. Pepper, and it was one of my favorite drinks in the United States. But when I purchased it in Japan, everyone was very confused because apparently they think it's a drink for boys, and girls don't really like the taste there. So that was a really big cultural shock for me.
Well, that is a unique cultural difference. I know a lot of girls in America who like Dr. Pepper.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's it for us today. Please come back and join us on Studio Classroom. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
The Adventures of Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain.
What did I tell him to do in your dream?
I think you made him shut it.
Well, that proves it. Don't tell me dreams don't mean anything. Go on, Tom.
Oh, it's getting clearer now. You said I wasn't really bad, just fun-loving. And then you began to cry.
So I did. So I did. And then?
Then Mrs. Harper began to cry, and she said Joe was the same.And she wished she hadn't punished him for taking the cream that she had thrown out herself.
Tom, this is wonderful. Go on, Tom.
Then Sid said, he said...
I don't think I said anything,
said Sid.
Yes, you did, Sid,
said Mary.
Be quiet and let Tom go on. What did he say, Tom?
I think he said he hoped I was in a happier world, but if I'd been better sometimes.
There! Do you hear that? His very own words.
And you stopped him sharply.
I certainly did.
And Mrs. Harper told about Joe frightening her with a firecracker. And you told about Peter and the painkiller.
Just as true as I'm alive.
And then there was a lot more talk about what happened and about the arrangements for Sunday and...
Wonderful,
said Aunt Polly.
Oh, but look at the time. You'll have to run to school, all of you.
Only Sid thought, but didn't say what he thought.
As long a dream as that, without any mistakes in it.
Tom arrived home from school to find an angry Aunt Polly waiting for him.
Tom, why don't I take the skin off you?
Why? What have I done, Auntie?
You've done enough. I go over to see Mrs. Harper, and I expect to make her believe all that stuff about your dream. But she had found out from Joe that you were here that night and heard all our talk. How could you come here all the way from Jackson's Island to laugh at our troubles? You never thought about having pity for us and saving us from sorrow.
Auntie, I know now it was wrong, but I didn't come here to laugh at you that night.
What did you come for, then?
It was to tell you not to worry about us, because we weren't drowned.